Tom and Dorian had knelt side by side in the gun emplacement and rested their telescopes on the parapet. They studied Zane's squadron of ships, which were anchored in a group below the walls of the fort on the far side of the bay and bombarding the walls. Dorian had sighted the long 9-pounder cannons with great care. From this height, they could bring every part of the bay under fire. Once it came through the entrance, no ship was safe from them. It had been a Herculean task to get the guns up to this eyrie. The sides of the bluff were too high and steep, and the guns too heavy to lift them straight up from the shore. Tom had cut a track through the thick forest along the rising spine of the ridge, and using this as a ramp, he had dragged the guns up with teams of oxen until they were directly above the chosen site. Then, on heavy anchor cable, he lowered them down into the concealed emplacements. Once the guns were sighted, they ranged them on targets set up around the shore of the bay. Their first shots had flown far over and crashed into the forest beyond. Once they were satisfied with the position of the guns, they built the charcoal furnace 50 paces from the powder magazine to reduce the danger of sparks flying from one to the other. They plastered the furnace with river clay. They made the bellows with 50 tanned oxhides, sealing the seams with tar. A gang of cooks, labourers, and riffraff worked the handles to force air into the furnace. Once it reached full blast, it was not possible to look with the naked eye into the white-hot glare of the interior, so Dorian had smoked a sheet of glass with the flame of an oil lamp. Peering through this, they could judge when the shot was hot enough. Then they manhandled each cannonball out of the furnace with long-handled tongs. The men doing the job wore thick leather mittens and aprons to protect them from the heat. They dropped each glowing ball into a specially prepared cradle with long handles. These were carried by 2 men across to the gun, which was waiting with its barrel raised to the maximum possible elevation. Once the ball was dropped down the muzzle, it was not long before it burned away the wet wads and spontaneously ignited the powder charge behind them. A premature discharge while the barrel was pointed skywards would tear it off its carriage, wreck the gun emplacement, and kill or maim the gun crews. This allowed only the briefest respite to lay the gun on its target and fire it. Then the whole dangerous, lengthy process had to be repeated. After a few shots, the barrel overheated until it was on the point of bursting, and the recoil was monstrous. It had to be sponged out and buckets of seawater poured down the sizzling muzzle before they dared ram a fresh charge of powder into it. Over the previous weeks, while they awaited the arrival of Zayn al-Din's fleet, Dorian had instructed and exercised the gunners in handling hot shot. They had encountered all these complications for themselves and learned by hard experience, which culminated with the explosion of one of the guns. 2 men had been killed by flying fragments of the bronze barrel. All of the crews now had a deep respect for the glowing cannonballs, and none was looking forward to firing the remaining 3 weapons in earnest. The foreman had come from the furnace to report to Dorian with an expression of awe and dread. "We have 12 balls ready, mighty Caliph." "You have done well, Farmat, but I am not yet ready to open fire. Keep the furnaces hot." He and Tom turned back to continue their surveillance of the action taking place below them. The bombardment from Zayn's ships covered the whole bay and the edges of the forest with smoke, but through it they saw the defenders abandon the fort and run out through the gates. "Good," said Dorian with satisfaction. "They've remembered their orders." He had ordered a token defence of the fort, merely to lure Zayn's fleet deep into the bay. "I hope they remembered to spike the guns on the parapets before they left," Tom growled. "I do not fancy them being turned on us." The bombardment died away. They watched the boats filled with the assault party leave the war dhows and head in for the beach to occupy the deserted fort. Both Tom and Dorian recognised Guy Courtney in the bows of the leading boat. "His Britannic Majesty's Honourable Consul-General in the flesh!" Dorian exclaimed. "The scent of the gold was too strong for him to ignore. He's come in person to retrieve it." "My beloved twin brother!" Tom agreed. "Does my heart good to see him again after all these years. When we last parted, he was trying to kill me. It seems that things have changed not at all since then." "It will not take him long to find that the cupboard is bare," Dorian said. "So now it is time to slam the door shut behind them." He called to the runner, who waited eagerly at the back of the redoubt for just this summons. He was one of Sarah's orphans, and he rushed forward, grinning widely and trembling with eagerness to please. "Go down to small boy and tell him it is time to close the gate." Dorian had barely finished speaking before the boy had jumped over the wall and was racing down the steep pathway. Dorian had to shout after him, "Don't let them see you!"